for a bit. Might as well get you and your people situated.
Celeste tapped her chin as she looked over the group of people. May could see her considering what to do with everyone, and how to best make use of them. Her staff had anxious looks on their faces. They were worried they could be used as soldiers against the undead. She caught more than a few pleading glances her way from them. They were her staff, her people, her responsibility.
Do you have a kitchen available? My staff and I can prepare meals for everyone. Decent food goes a long way to improve morale,
May said, doing her best to put steel in her words. Celeste considered what she said for a moment, then gave a nod of approval.
The Flatiron has a decent-sized kitchen. I'll have someone take you there. Might be a good idea to get some quick grub made up for the bosses when you get there. They will be working on a plan soon.
May nodded, though internally she gave a sigh of relief. At least she would be away from District Boss Ash and his damn smile. Chapter 28 Ash leaned over the table before him, his body too restless to sit like those around him. He was looking over a map of District 114 that had been divided up in a grid pattern. A homemade map key showed places that would have a high concentration of people, such as the grocery stores or the movie theater. The key had a color-coded system, stating if any of the gangs had been patrolling the area when the undead had attacked. Green meant the gangs were able to evacuate everyone to Lily Street. Yellow meant they were unable to evacuate people but did warn them. Red markers meant no gang members had been in the area, and no warning issued to them. Thankfully, there were only a few red areas on the map. Phelan's quick warning had spread like wildfire among the citizens of District 114. Some had even taken a more proactive approach, forming groups and rescuing others along the way. He had invited the leaders of those groups to this meeting at the Flatiron. Ash turned from the map to look at those sitting around him. They were in the dining room of the Flatiron, or at least what had served as the dining room when the place was a hotel. With May taking over the kitchen and rushing out plates of food to them, he figured it was again, at least for now. There were familiar faces around him for this meeting. Phelan and Naomi, with their seconds in command, Jack and Celeste, were sitting closest to him. Beau was there with Jacqueline, who thankfully had been having lunch with the big lug when the undead had attacked. Lily stuffed her face with food while keeping them updated on what was happening outside. She had a weird sixth sense that let her know what was happening around one of her plants, which made Ash consider moving the housewarming cactus she had given to him out of his bedroom. There were also four new faces sitting at the table. One belonged to an old, grizzled orc named Mander, who was the owner of the twins, whom Ash knew from his times there. He updated the twins' website with a closure warning. Then he organized his patrons, armed them, and cut a path through any undead they encountered on their way to Lily Street. They saved anyone they met on the way, even checking buildings. He sat at a table with a stoic expression, giving Ash a nod when their eyes met. Beau had told him the old orc was once the chief of a small orc tribe back on Voss. The three other faces belonged to a trio of Otterkin sisters. This was Ash's first time meeting them. Haley, Bailey, and Kaylee had been warned about the undead by Celeste. The trio worked at one of the fish farms and were all users of water magic. They ensured the other fish farms were safe, gathering the workers and anyone else they encountered, and made their way to Lily Street. They had used their water magic to keep the undead away, though all three admitted they had zero combat practice with their magic, only using it for their job. Haley was the leader of the trio, and Ash would guess she was close to Luna's age, so perhaps 20 years old. She sat there wide-eyed and nervous, as if shocked she had been invited to this meeting. "Beau, what's your guess on a time frame for the Smiths working the forges?" Ash asked, best to know his deadline for planning. "We need the cookware turned into iron weapons before we can do anything."
"An hour. They are turning them into pike heads. They'll be crude and ugly, but we'll get the job done. They're using the human assembly line method to get them out as fast as possible."
Ash gave a nod of thanks. "Jack and Celeste, I want search parties formed. When the pikes are done, divide up the grid and start with the red areas and work to the yellow."
"Gotcha, big boss. We're on it,"
Celeste replied with a salute.
"It shall be done."
Jack gave a small nod. Mander sat up straighter as Ash turned his attention to the orc. There was a small smile he was trying to hide. Perhaps the call to action had kindled some of the old tribal chief in him. "Mander, I would like to ask you to check around for volunteers for the search parties and work with Jack and Celeste on where to search." Mander hoisted the two short swords he had been wearing and laid them on the table. A big grin broke out on the old orc's face.
"I will do that and more. I will lead one of the search groups myself. My blades are at your service, District Boss. Our home is under attack. I'm sure you will have no shortage of volunteers, including my tavern patrons. The Twin Swords is not a place for those with weak stomachs."
"Glad to have you and your patrons, Mander." Ash smiled at the old orc. He turned and faced the Otterkin sisters, who went wide-eyed with his attention focused on them. "Haley." She blushed when he said her name. Her eyes quickly darted down to the table. One of the sisters let out a snicker but was silenced with an elbow by the third sister. He could see Phelan giving him a knowing smile out of the corner of his eye. "I need to ask a big favor of you and your sisters. It could be vital for the district." That got the girls' attention, and all three of them were looking at him with wide eyes, though Haley was still red from blushing. "With any emergency, there is always a risk for fires to break out. People leave their homes with food cooking, candles lit, or something similar. That's why I want you girls to organize an emergency fire brigade. Recruit from the gangs and Mander's volunteers, especially if any of them are water or earth magic users that could combat fires. The rescue teams will alert you if they see any fires in the district." The sisters' faces filled with pride and determination.
"You can count on us, District Boss,"
Haley said, finally meeting his eyes with a smile. He returned her smile. "Lily?" Ash turned to her, one eyebrow raised.
I know. Keep the street safe and smush any zombies that come nearby."
Lily struck a pose and batted her eyelashes at him.
"Be my adorable self when you get back."
Ash smiled and shook his head at her antics. Even in a situation like this, Lily was still Lily. "Yes, do all that, and if you notice anything, let us know. Even with you here, the necromancer may still try something." She did a parody of Celeste's salute, which got the minkkin to stick her tongue out at the dryad. Lily returned the gesture. Her circle of friends had grown, and a lot fewer people were viewing Lily as someone dangerous. Well, she was dangerous, but not someone people should be afraid of. "Right. Now for us to talk about the necromancer. Do we know anything about them?" Phelan produced a cigarette end and laid it on the table.
"We found a few of these around Ray's grave, just before we fought the Wraith bitch."
Ash picked up the bud and looked at it. There was the image of a rose with black petals on the band. He remembers seeing them a lot as a kid. "Obsidian rose." The ears of all the beastkin around the table perked up at once.
"You know anyone that smokes them?"
Phelan asked. Ash grimaced and laid the cigarette butt back on the table.
"Yeah, they were my dad's brand. Eventually they killed him."
He could see Phelan start to apologize and stop when he shook his head. He knew what the smokes were doing to him. Never even tried to quit. The brand is pretty small. Dad had to special order his. I'm surprised anyone here is smoking them.
I don't think anyone does,
Phelan said.
The undead we have seen have been a mixture of different races, though there are a noticeable number of frost trolls within them. I bet the necromancer has been smuggling the undead into the district over the past few days. When they built up a sizable army, the necromancer arrived and launched the attack.
Ash gave a somber look around the table. This seems like an attempt to wipe out the district as a whole, not just Destry targeting me or Phelan.
He's probably trying to erase evidence of his connection to Sarrow's slave ring. You two freed the slaves and settled most of them here,
Lily stated as she rolled an olive on the table before squishing it with her finger.
If that's the case, then the portal will be a zombie hotspot.
Beau grimaced at the thought.
We can put a beastkin with a keen sense of smell in each of the rescue groups. Let them get a scent for the cigarette off the butt and have them contact us if they pick it up,
Phelan suggested.
Oh, then you, me, and Ash can go in and kill the necromancer,
Naomi said, way too cheerfully. Phelan gave a nod to Naomi.
All right, we've got our plan. Let's put it in action, Ash said, looking at those around the table.
2 hours later, Ash, Phelan, and Naomi stood on top of a roof, staring at a cigarette end with the black rose on the band. This one was still smoldering, as had the last three they had found on the other roofs. The rescue teams would pick up the scent, but each time they arrived, all they found was a smoldering bud.
You think they know we are trying to track them this way and just leaving lit ones on random roofs to mislead us?
Naomi asked. Possible, but it's not affecting the rescue efforts or anything else. I mean, it wouldn't be hard for them to set up an ambush. What are they doing on the roofs? Ash asked.
Then we are just missing them. We need a way to get to the locations faster,
Phelan said as she stomped out the smoldering butt.
I've got an idea, but we'll need to talk to Lily.
Ash scratched his chin while wondering what price he would have to pay the dryad. When they got back to Lily Street, they found the dryad still in the dining room of the Flatiron. She had talked May into making another basket of the rolls they served at her restaurant.
Another bust?
Lily asked as she held a roll in each hand.
Yeah, just another smoking cigarette butt waiting for us, Ash said as he took a seat at her table.
We're just not getting there fast enough. Which is why I want to ask if I can borrow your bike. Lily stood, hands still holding the now smooshed rolls as she leaned onto the table.
That was not a good sign.
She scowled at him.
You want to borrow my bike? The bike that ended up on the ocean floor last time it was in your care?
Ash suppressed a groan. He figured Lily would use this to get something she wanted.
Yes. What can I trade you to borrow it, Lily?
She smiled at him.
I want a room in the Flatiron. Room 104, to be exact.
Ash blinked. This was a more reasonable request than he had expected. The Flatiron had more rooms than he knew what to do with, even with the first two floors being turned into barracks.
Sure, but why room 104?
Lily grabbed one of her smashed rolls and took a bite before smiling at him.
I already broke into that room and moved some stuff in. Keys to the bike are where they always are at the shop.
Ash sighed and shook his head.
Thanks, Lily.
She waved at them with a flattened roll as they left. He quickly found the keys buried under candy wrappers. He would need to stop by sometime and clean Lily's shop. He might not be an employee anymore, but he was part owner. Also, if no one picked up after Lily, the shop would turn into a dump. He pulled the sports bike around the front of the shop, as Naomi eyed it wearily.
"Does it bite?"
Naomi asked as she cautiously tried to pet the sports bike.
"It's a machine,"
Phelan said with a cough to stifle her laugh. Naomi nodded her head but continued to pet the bike. Ash told the girls his plan while they waited for another call about the necromancer's whereabouts. Essentially, they were going to split up, which if Bo was here, he would reference how that was always a bad idea in horror movies. Ash would rush to the location on the bike, while Phelan and Naomi would go east and west of the location. The hope was, if their target fled again, the girls might catch sight of them and let Ash know to change directions. They killed time by Ash showing them how to drive the bike. Phelan even rode it solo up and down the street a few times. She only made a couple of laps before Mander called with a location, and they were off. Ash raced down the empty street on the bike. A few zombies saw him and tried to pursue, only to be left in the dust. As always, when he would ride around on Lily's bike, he missed his old one that he had to leave behind. He wondered if he could get one now that he was district boss. His phone started going off. He pulled over in a spot free of zombies and whipped off his helmet, hitting accept as soon as he saw it was Phelan.
"You got eyes on the necromancer, Phelan?"
"Yes, and I know how she's been avoiding us,"
Phelan said over the hum of the bike's engine.
"The bitch is a harpy, and she's heading west."
"Heading that way."
Chapter 29. Ash raced westward. He would have to push the little sports bike to its limits if he wanted to keep up with someone who could fly. He kept checking the horizon to see if he could spot the necromancer. He spotted Phelan first, slowing down just enough for her to jump on the bike.
"She flew that way,"
Phelan pointed before putting on her helmet. Ash responded with a nod before taking off with the bike, Phelan clinging tightly to his back. He knew the area. It had fewer multi-story buildings, and mostly the housing was made from the modified shipping containers. The place had been one of the red marker zones, and the first place the rescue teams had been sent. As such, this area should be empty of people. When the fight broke out with the necromancer, at least there wouldn't be bystanders that could get hurt. Their target began as a small dot on the horizon, but soon came into full view. Large, dark brown feathered wings carried a woman with talon feet through the air. As they got closer to her, she finally noticed them. She whirled in the air and faced them. A black crescent moon of magic shot from her wings toward them. He felt Phelan squeeze him with her legs as her hands let go of their hold on his chest. The burst of flames she cast collided with the black crescent moon in an explosion of color, almost as if someone had set off a dozen fireworks at once. As the blaze of color died down, the harpy seemed to panic and tried to maneuver in the air. That was when Ash noticed the earthen spike. Phelan must have cast it behind her flames to conceal it. Had the harpy not noticed in time, the spike would have punched a hole through her head. Instead, her maneuver saved her life, but the spike still found a place of purchase. The harpy let out a scream as the earthen spike punched a hole through her left wing. Blood and feathers fell to the ground below her, and she dropped a few feet as she struggled to keep airborne. Phelan tried to follow up with more earthen spikes and fireballs, but even injured, the harpy was able to avoid them. The first one had caught her by surprise, and now she wouldn't underestimate Phelan. The harpy quickly flew away from the road, preventing them from following her on the bike. She was struggling to stay airborne, and Ash had an idea of where she was trying to head. One of the few multi-story buildings in this area was not far. He parked the bike and looked at the small forest of brush and trees that separated the road from the building. It was the shortest path to the building the harpy was heading towards.
Phelan, how confident are you in driving the bike?
Ash asked as he watched the harpy fly straight towards the building.
I think I can do all right as long as I'm not trying to go as fast as you.
Take the bike and pick up Naomi. We'll meet at that multi-story building. It's where the harpy is heading.
Ash said as he got off the bike and started making his way into the brush along the road.
Be careful, Ash. If something happens to you, I will make the necro bitch bring you back to me.
Phelan gave him one last look before starting the bike. She turned down the road leading towards Naomi. Ash pushed his way through the brush into the small forest. He started to see zombies the deeper he got into the small woods. None of them paid him any mind, as they all shambled forward in the same direction, towards the building that the harpy had fled to. He frowned at the thought and pulled on his magic, flooding his body with it. He wanted to be stronger and faster if there was an army of undead waiting for him at the base of the building. The hike through the small woods took him about 15 minutes, but soon he popped out into the parking lot for the building.
Oh, it's the human,
a familiar, annoying voice said. Ash let out a small sigh as a pale Ray and a headless Sarrow, accompanied by several zombies, exited the building. Sarrow was still missing his left arm, and a portion of that side of his chest had mismatched skin stitched over the wound. The canvas bag was gone, and instead, Sarrow wore a small backpack on his chest covered in the artwork of some kid's cartoon.
Hey, Ray!
Ash pointed to Sarrow and the zombies.
I'm not interrupting your orgy or something, am I?
Ray stared at him with her jaw open for a second before erupting in a volcano of profanities.
Did that bitch Phelan tell everyone?
She finally said after her stream of profanities. Ray snarled as black smoke engulfed her hand, and she started running towards them. Ash raised his hand and sent a bolt through her head. She staggered, and the spell she was casting cut out as her head reformed. He had one of the iron pike heads, but he would need an opening to effectively use it. Time was something he didn't have. With every second, the necromancer could either be healing or escaping.
Damn it! Reforming a head is annoying, you know!
Ray shouted as her head came back. Ash shrugged his shoulders.
I honestly was enjoying the peace and quiet. Now that your head is back, I have to agree, yeah, it's annoying.
Sarrow rushed forward and swung his massive sword. His accuracy was not much better than before, and he only managed to leave a gash in the pavement. Ray, though, had used his attack to close ground on Ash. Long blades made of darkness came off her fingers, as if she were some wolfkin version of Freddy Krueger. Ash sidestepped the attack and grabbed her by the wrist. Ray had a surprised look on her face at how fast he had reacted. This was an opening he needed to capitalize on. A glance at Sarrow showed the lumbering Doulahan was struggling to get his sword out of the pavement. The blade had caught on something. Ray's eyes widened as he pulled the iron pike head from where he had it sheathed on his back. He thrust the iron weapon forward. Ray, with her free hand, grabbed her upper arm, above where Ash held her wrist. Black smoke billowed from her hand, and she winced before falling backward. Ash stood there, holding Ray's severed arm, and the point of the iron pike where her head should have been. She rushed away from him quickly, only looking back at him once she was at a safe distance. The look was a mixture of fear and anger. Ash sneered at her and threw the severed arm in her direction. It turned into black smoke and reformed on Ray's body. There was a loud cracking sound as Sero heaved his blade free of the pavement, tearing up a large slab of asphalt as he did. The headless swordsman was now dragging the mass of steel he called a blade towards Ash. Ray stood back, but Ash was sure she would just wait for an opening. His attention broke from Sero, and a smile appeared on his face as he heard the sound of the bike's engine. Ray turned and looked towards the sound, just in time to see an explosion of ice shards tear through the zombies she had brought with her. Naomi was already off the bike and had Torrent drawn. Even from where Ash was, he could see she was giving a death stare at Sero. The hulking corpse changed directions from Ash and gave a wordless charge in her direction. Naomi met with a charge of her own. Phelan parked the bike and soon joined the fray, her eyes fixed on Ray. It seemed the girls had already decided who their opponents would be. Ray gave her a cocky smile.
"You sure you want to dance again, Faye? Your sister isn't here to save you this—"
Three earthen spikes tore Ray apart before she could finish whatever she was saying.
"Go get the necromancer. We'll take care of these two,"
Phelan said to Ash as she launched another string of earthen spikes at Ray's reforming body. Ash glanced towards Naomi to see her holding her own with Sero, both their blades locked in a stalemate as they clashed. Ash gave a nod of thanks to his girls and ran for the door of the building. The place was vacant. It seemed Ray had pulled all the zombies out to the parking lot to fight with her. He found the stairwell and started racing up the flights of stairs. The building was 5 stories tall, and even with magic running through his body, he was a little winded by the time he reached the top. Opening the door to the roof, he spotted the necromancer. The harpy was perched on the roof holding a healing potion, the hole in her wing slowly healing itself back together. She was a living person, so didn't have the rapid healing of the undead she controlled. She had short brown hair that matched the color of her wings. Both of her arms were covered in tattoos that looked like feathers, and she had her right eyebrow pierced. She wore jeans and a dark blue t-shirt, with the logo of a heavy metal band that Ash couldn't place right now. Around her neck was an ugly metal collar covered in bones. She took a drag off her cigarette and looked at him with her dark brown eyes.
"Can that damn wraith not do anything except run her mouth?" she said with an exhale of smoke.
An explosion of wind and ice magic detonated as Naomi crossed blades with the hulking Doulahan that was Sero. The blades met at a standstill, showing the strength Naomi had hidden in her arms. She was a salamander, so she had a bit of dragon's blood in her after all. While her blade had been stopped by the crude block of steel that was Sero's blade, her magic was not. Black smoke flowed off his body from where wind and ice magic had torn into him, leaving deep cuts. This was not the cheerful Naomi that Phelan had helped with her makeup or gave advice to about Ash. This Naomi was a rage-filled woman who was getting a second shot at the man who had enslaved her and killed her family. A woman with the power and tools to unleash that rage upon him.
"You bitch!"
Phelan sent another one of her earthen spikes at Ray, cutting her off. Naomi wasn't the only one holding a grudge. She had not truly understood the damage Ray had done until she and Ash went to District 71, and Luna had told her the horrors she had seen while kept as a slave by the trolls. Forced to butcher the corpses of others to harvest the magic reagents inside to make weapons, potions, or tools. Phelan still had nights where she would lie awake, staring at the darkness. Her mind replayed things that should have been obvious lies or half-truths that Ray had told her. Had she caught on to her deception quicker, she could have saved so many people. The worst nights were when Luna was having it rough. Her sister would come into her room a trembling mess, her tail tucked and ears flat, convinced the trolls were coming for her that night, that she would still be killed and butchered. All Phelan could do to help her sister was hold her and try to reassure her that she was safe. So, yeah, Ray's second death was not going to be quick. Naomi was still occupying Saro and was even driving the headless greater undead back. Phelan figured it would not be long before the ice salamander got her retribution, which meant Ray was all hers to deal with. Phelan pulled on her two affinities in magic, earth and fire. Her last fight with Ray had caused her to rethink her strategies. For so long, she'd only ever used earth magic for combat and limited her fire magic to her ember persona. Even now that she was using both of the affinities for combat, it was still very limited. She knew magic and knew the potential of both affinities when combined. She could create a spell that would hurt greater undead like Ray. She had one of the iron pike heads sheathed on her back. Ash had made sure everyone outside of Lily Street had one. She would use it if she was forced to, but she wanted to beat Ray with her own magic. Earth whirled around her and flames danced on her fingertips as she cast the spell. It was still in its infancy, nowhere near its maximum potential and efficiency. Her magic separated the elements within the earth, while the fire tempered and shaped it on her fingers. Ray had given up on her trash-talking and was now charging at Phelan with a rage-filled scream, her Shadow Claw spell active. Phelan turned and met her head-on with her own claws still covered in flames. The flames snuffed out as Ray's Shadow Claw shattered. She let out a yelp of pain. A series of deep cuts ran up Ray's arm, and she stared in bewilderment as they refused to heal. Phelan smirked and looked at her hand. Sharp, black nails covered each of her fingertips. Her spell worked. She had pulled the traces of iron out of the soil, smelted and infused it with magic and her body. The magic would make the iron stronger and keep more of an edge than what was natural for the metal, while also enhancing its lethality to creatures of death magic. When she canceled the spell, the iron would just crumble away.
"Look, Phelan, I'm sorry. This was not my fault. Saro was a bad boyfriend. He dragged me into a bad crowd and I was manipulated,"
Ray pleaded as she clutched her cut-up arm. Phelan could smell the fear coming off of her, more so when Ray glanced towards Saro. The Doulahan was little more than a torso with black smoke coming off of it. Naomi stood on top of him with an iron pike head in her hands, slowly driving it into the heart of the greater undead monstrosity. When the iron weapon sank as far as it would go, the black smoke stopped. Naomi drew Torrent and swung the blade, activating both its wind and her ice magic, shredding the corpse into a pile of mush. She then turned and looked at Ray, her eyes as cold as the ice magic she wielded. Ray let out a fearful cry as she showed her true self. Ray had always been a coward, despite Phelan denying it when she thought the Wolfkin was her friend. The hindsight was clear. Ray turned to run away from them. Both Phelan and Naomi started to pursue her. The deafening sound of thunder boomed above them. An explosion on the rooftop made Phelan and Naomi stop in their pursuit and turn back to the building. Phelan's heart raced as she saw Ash falling 5 stories. Her nose picked up the scent of blood. His blood. Chapter 30. A bit earlier.
Can that damn wraith not do anything except run her mouth?
The necromancer said with an exhale of smoke. She narrowed her eyes and stared at Ash's scar. The blue glow was less noticeable outside in the sun, but he was sure the harpy had excellent eyesight. He shrugged.
You're the one that decided to raise her from the dead. We were all enjoying the quiet with her gone.
The harpy frowned, and her hand pulled on the collar around her neck.
Yeah, it was not my idea to bring her back, or to make that shit stain of a troll into a Doulahan. Fargul thought it would be a nice touch for some vengeance bullshit, and ordered me to do it.
Ash raised an eyebrow, and wondered who the hell Fargo was. The harpy put out her cigarette on the roof and stood up, stretching her arms and wings as she did.
Look, I'm sorry about this, but I am going to have to kill you. Your boss as well, when she gets up here.
Ash blinked and cocked his head to the side. Was Cleo on her way here? If so, how did the harpy know that?
My boss?
The harpy froze in her stretching and blinked at him in confusion.
Yeah, district boss feeling?
Ash darted forward, casting lightning claw. The harpy's eyes widened and she opened her wings, sending a gust of wind that threw her to the right. The lightning claw tore into a vent the harpy had been standing by. Seeing her dodge his attack, Ash pulled the iron pike head free of its sheath with his other hand and hurled it at the harpy. The pike head struck her stomach, and she let out a grunt of pain. He readied another lightning claw, hoping to attack where the pike had injured her stomach. Before he could strike, the harpy's wings gained a dark edge to them, and two of the dark crescent moon spells shot at him. He had to shift from targeting her to cleaving through the double spell with his lightning claw. That gave her time to put some distance between them. She clutched at the pike head still in her stomach. It now had a dark ring of blood surrounding it, and a small crimson pool was gathering below her. Her wings still held the dark edge, showing she was holding on to two more of the dark crescent moon spells, ready to cast at a moment's notice.
Fucking lying, Fargo! You're him, aren't you? The Storm? Phelan isn't the district boss, you are! You're Councilwoman Blackthorn's monster!
The harpy spouted with a nervous look on her face. She glanced at the slowly healing wound on her wing, and Ash knew she was considering fleeing. He had no idea what she was talking about, but he was not going to let her get away. She had attacked his district, brought back his enemies from the dead, and threatened his friends. He raced towards her again with his lightning claw, and she responded by releasing the two crescent moons at him. He weaved through them and closed in on her.
Shit!
The harpy said as she held her hands open before her. Black swirls formed a shield of magic. Lightning claw struck the shield, and for a second it held until Ash pushed more magic into his attack. The shield shattered in an explosion similar to when Phelan's flames had collided with the harpy's crescent moons. Both Ash and the harpy were thrown backward. He recovered faster than her, probably due to him using Ember's enhancement spell. The explosion had canceled his lightning claw. Still, if he could grapple with her, he could do something. She tried to dodge as he rushed her, using her wings to make a gust in hopes of pushing herself out of the way. His hand wrapped around the bone-covered collar she wore, and he threw her to the side. Ash stared at his hand as the harpy's body crashed against the remains of the vent on the roof. A familiar sensation had run through his fingers when he grabbed the collar. He looked at the harpy. She was dragging herself out of the remains of the vent. Deep cuts covered her. She opened a healing potion, drinking its contents.
That collar is cursed, Ash stated.
The harpy stood up on shaky legs, but the healing potion was already doing its job. Her cuts were closing before his eyes.
No shit! You think I want to be here, fighting monsters like you and pissing off the Nightmare Queen? I was an independent boss of a small district until that shit-stained troll, Cero, showed up one day at Fargo's request. The bastard attacked and collared me. I've been that damn elf's puppet ever since.
Ash gritted his teeth and cursed Destry and the rest of his slave ring.
We broke the cursed collars before. We freed all those that Cero had enslaved for his horror shop in District 71.
The harpy let out a laugh that morphed into a cry.
Not like this one. Those just had a banshee curse on them. This one is made with gin bones. You can't break it like those collars. I have no choice. I either kill you and everyone in this district, or Fargo will activate the curse and let it slowly and painfully kill me. So please, just die,
the harpy said, sobbing. Her wings spread out behind her, and a gust of wind launched her at him with incredible speed. Her arms wrapped around his waist as she flew off the roof, carrying him with her. She flew straight up in the air, her wings struggling to lift them both with the wound still healing. Then she let him go, only to discover his hand clinging to the collar around her neck. Fear filled her eyes as the sound of static filled the air and lightning built up in his hand. Ash held the lightning and pulled a magic restore potion from his pocket, quickly drinking it.
Let go!
The harpy screamed. Her wings took the dark edge of her crescent moon attack. Ash quickly finished another magic restore potion and braced for the attack. The two dark crescent blades hit him point blank, and he felt them cut deep into his skin. He tasted blood in his mouth and almost let go of the collar. He wouldn't be able to stand another hit from her magic so close. He hoped two magic restore potions would be enough. He released the bolt, boosted by Cleo's burst training technique, into the collar. A loud thunderclap deafened him as both he and the harpy fell from the sky. He started to feel himself slip out of consciousness and tried to flood his body with magic, hoping it would allow him to survive the impact. His last thoughts were of Phelan and Naomi. Chapter 31. Phelan pulled on her earth magic, tearing the pavement away and softening the ground that had been under it. Naomi used Torrent to send gusts of wind up to try and slow Ash's momentum. They both were already running toward him when he hit the ground. A small cloud of dust surrounded him.
Ash!
Phelan cried out as she reached him. She already had a healing potion out and was pouring it down his throat. Thankfully, their efforts seemed to have prevented any serious damage from the fall. Still, he had two nasty gashes on his chest caused by the harpy. Naomi had her jacket off and was using it to hold pressure to the wounds. Dread filled Phelan when he didn't respond to her. She quickly checked his vitals and gave a sigh of relief when he had a strong pulse. He had just lost consciousness during the fall. Phelan remembered Ray and looked in the direction of the wraith. She caught her giving them a fearful glance as she disappeared into the woods. Phelan snarled. The fact Ray was still alive meant the necromancer was as well.
Naomi, stay with Ash. I'm going to finish this.
Phelan kissed Ash's forehead and ran her fingers through his hair before standing up. She could smell that the bitch was back on the roof. She flexed her hand, still adorned with iron claws. She made her way up the stairs and exited out onto the roof. She could see the damage from Ash's battle with the necromancer. She also saw the bitch herself, a crumpled mess on the roof. One of her wings was broken, along with an arm and a leg as well. The harpy had a smile on her face as she stared at a broken piece of metal in her hand, which pissed Phelan off. Phelan approached. There wasn't much the harpy could do in that state to defend herself. Phelan could end her as quickly or as slowly as she wanted to. The harpy smiled at her as she approached, tears streaking down her face.
"He freed me. He said he could do it, but I didn't believe him."
The harpy held up the piece of metal and sobbed.
"I'm free! I'm finally free!"
Phelan's hand shot out and struck the side of the harpy's head. She collapsed to the ground, dropping the piece of metal. Phelan knew how to hit someone to knock them unconscious, a trick she had picked up while running the 114 pack. Once Ash woke up, she would check with him and see if the harpy was telling the truth. If she was lying, then she was dead. With a quick search of the building, she found a rope to bind the harpy with in case she woke up. Ash was starting to stir when she came back down from the roof with the unconscious harpy thrown over her shoulder. He was sipping on another healing potion. Naomi must have given it to him.
"Good, she's alive,"
he said with a sigh of relief.
"Yes, she is. Only because she said you freed her,"
Phelan said. Ash nodded his head.
"She had on a more powerful version of the collars we saw at District 71. She said Saro and someone named Fargo put it on her. Fargo was the one who ordered her to take out the district. Also to turn Ray and Saro into greater undead. We'll give her one of Lily's truth potions when we get back, just to make sure she isn't trying to play a trick."
Phelan scowled at Ash. She had to force the look, though.
"I should be mad at you for being reckless again, but I'm too happy you're all right."
"Are we all going to slap him again?"
Naomi asked her with a hopeful look on her face. She almost wanted to say yes, given how wide Ash's eyes went with dread at the thought.
"Maybe later. Let's get back first,"
Phelan said, trying to suppress a grin. Ash pulled his phone out and started typing a message. He sent it, then started typing another one.
"Letting everyone know we got the necromancer?"
Phelan asked. "That and getting Lily to set up a makeshift prison to hold her. I have also asked Cleo to come by. We've been keeping her updated on the situation inside the district. Council laws prevented her from acting, but now that it's over, she can come in." Phelan nodded. She understood the unspoken part. Councilwoman Blackthorne would be the one to ultimately decide the fate of the necromancer. They made a slow pace getting back to Lily Street, having to carry the unconscious bitch and push the bike. The potion had healed Ash's wounds to the point they were no longer at risk of bleeding. Ash received a whirlwind of questions once they arrived back. Everything from if it was safe to leave to what the fate of the necromancer was. The questioning died the moment Ash mentioned Councilwoman Blackthorne was on her way here, and that he would let everyone know when it was safe to leave Lily Street. Most everyone fled back to the buildings they had taken as temporary shelters. None wanted to draw the ire of the Nightmare Queen. They made their way to the cell Lily had prepared. It was a room in the Flatiron that she had filled with potted plants, all of which were under her control. Outside the room were members of both the 114 pack and the Frozen Scales, armed with the iron pikes. Phelan placed the necromancer in her cell and poured a healing potion down her throat. Then they waited. The necromancer groaned as she slowly regained consciousness. She tested the bindings first, then noticed she wasn't alone. The harpy looked at everyone in the room, which was currently Lily, Naomi, Ash, and Phelan. When her eyes landed on Ash, the harpy smiled. Phelan scented the air and frowned at what she smelled.
"Thank you for freeing me, the harpy purred.
Well, I wouldn't say you're free,
Lily responded, pointing to the bindings. The harpy shook her head.
Freed me from that damn collar and Fargu. I should have listened to you earlier. Sorry I tried to kill you.
Her eyes batted at Ash. Phelan could smell the harpy's arousal as she looked at Ash. The bitch had gone from wanting to kill him to wanting to fuck him. Phelan was starting to regret not killing the bitch.
I'm just glad we both survived that encounter, Ash said.
Thankfully, he had not picked up on the harpy's interest in him. He was the only one without a strong sense of smell. Phelan probably had the strongest, but she caught Naomi giving her odd glances that suggested she was picking up on it as well. Lily had a sixth sense when people were around her plants, and from the gleeful way she twirled the truthsayer potion in her hand, Phelan was sure she knew. The harpy tried to thrust her chest out at Ash, but fell flat, literally. Harpies tended to be on the flat-chested side. Big boobs were less aerodynamic, and even though their feathers held natural wind magic that aided in their flying, their body tended to avoid the extra mass. Honestly, if this Fargo guy had not been interested in turning her into a puppet boss, then she would have fallen into Sarah's hands. The troll would have plucked her feathers and cut out her bones for magical reagents.
My name is Kate. I am, or was, the boss of District 263. What's your name? I'm afraid I only know you by the storm.
Ash raised an eyebrow at the use of his nickname. Phelan was sure it was his first time hearing someone call him that. She had been waiting for the day he learned about it. Another time and she would have smiled, perhaps even tease him. Right now, though, she was still feeling territorial.
How about, instead of an introduction, you call off the zombies? They're still out there staggering around our district and attacking our people,
Phelan said with an edge in her voice.
Of course.
Kate closed her eyes. She sat in silence for a few seconds, almost in a meditative state. Then she opened her eyes and gave a nod to Phelan.
It's done, she announced.
Phelan looked towards Lily for confirmation. With her sixth sense, she would know.
The zombies around the street have stopped moving.
Lily beamed a smile on her face.
Also, we have company.
At Lily's words, Kate's eyes locked on the door of her cell. There was no more batting her eyelashes or pushing out the small mounds she called breasts. She stared at the door with apprehension and tried to make herself as small as possible. Phelan heard the sound of footsteps approaching the door, the rhythmic clacking of heels on the tile. The sound grew louder before stopping at the door, moments before it swung open.
Thank you for coming, Cleo,
Ash said with a nod. Councilwoman Blackthorn gave a smile and nod in return to Ash. She was wearing a black pantsuit, with her silver hair done up in a bun. She ignored the cowering Kate in the center of the room and instead made her way to a small table. Ash had referred to it as the evidence table when he had set it up. Cleo picked up the only thing on the table, the remains of the shattered collar. She ran her fingers along the bones embedded in it, studying it intensely.
You can begin, Lily,
Cleo announced as she still studied the fragments of the collar. Lily approached Kate with a smirk on her face. She dangled the truthsayer potion in front of the harpy.
You can drink this willingly, or I can pry your mouth open with vines and pour it down your throat.
Vines started to slither out of the potted plants in the room, obviously Lily's preferred method. Perhaps Phelan was not the only one getting pissed off by the harpy's advances on Ash, even if they did fly by him. Kate's eyes went wide and darted around the room at all the vines approaching her.
I'll drink it!
The vines stopped their approach, and Lily let out a disappointed sigh. She popped the lid off the potion and held it to the harpy's lips. Cleo finally put down the collar and started to approach Kate.
"Who sent you to attack this district and what was your goal?"
Cleo asked. Kate didn't try to fight the effects of the potion as Jacqueline had when Phelan used it on her. The harpy just sat there, with her head held low in defeat.
"Fargu, an elf in District 263. He's an alchemist who worked with Destri and Cero when he was alive in gathering magic reagents. The goal was to take out Phelan, who they believed was the district boss, and as many of the freed slaves as possible."
Cleo raised an eyebrow.
"District 1 has been flooded with rumors since I returned. Did they just ignore them?"
Kate cast a glance towards Ash before looking back at Cleo, but she would not look the Nightmare Queen in the eyes.
"Fargu thought you were still weak, that the storm was just you bluffing to project internal power in Davos."
"What the hell is the storm?" Ash asked, crossing his arms.
"It's your nickname. Hope you like it,"
Cleo said with a smirk.
"They don't go away, no matter how much you wish they would."
Cleo turned her attention back to the harpy.
"Do you know the name of the djinn that was killed to make the collar?"
"No."
Kate shook her head.
"Was Fargo the one that made this collar?"
"Yes,"
Kate said with a nod.
"He also created the one Cero used, though they had to be cursed by banshees regularly to remain effective."
Cleo tapped her finger against her lip in thought.
"Do you personally hold any hostile intentions towards me, my vassals, or anyone in this room or district?"
Cleo finally asked.
"No."
She saw Cleo relax ever so slightly. Phelan figured that if the answer had been a yes, then the harpy would be dead by now.
"If asked, would you swear fealty to me and become one of my vassals?"
Kate's head shot up and stared at Cleo. Quickly, she bowed her head to her.
"Yes, yes, I would."
"What is your name?"
Cleo smiled slightly.
"Kate, Councilwoman Blackthorn."
"Kate. Blood is the price for this attack on District 114. The blood of the one responsible. You perpetrated the attack, but on the orders of another. So, I offer you a choice, Kate. Either pay the price yourself, or accept a curse from me, and bring the one responsible, this Fargo, here to pay the price. Should you fail to return within 24 hours, then the curse will extract the blood price from you. Which do you choose?"
A dark smile appeared on Kate's face as she finally met Cleo's eyes.
"Councilwoman Blackthorn, I gladly accept to bring Fargo to you for justice."
Cleo smiled in return. Lily stepped forward and crossed her arms, a mischievous grin on her face.
"All right, time for the important questions," Lily announced.
"Lily,"
Cleo growled at the smiling dryad.
"What are your intentions with Ash?"
Lily pointed at him as she said his name. Now the harpy was trying to fight against the effects of the truthsayer potion, desperately trying to keep her lips sealed. Phelan had to suppress the urge to laugh, but she was sure she had a massive smile on her face.
"Lily! What does that have to do with anything?"
Cleo demanded. Lily turned to face Cleo, and Phelan saw the mischievous smile on the dryad quickly replaced by a look of naive confusion.
"I figured you would want to know. After all, you would take Ash to the beach for magic training and come back wearing nothing but his jacket,"
Lily stated with a grin. Cleo turned bright red and glared at Lily.
"Damn it, Lily! I'm trying to project an aura of authority here!"
Lily just responded with peals of laughter.
"I want to fuck him!"
Kate finally broke. She was bright red and trying to avoid everyone's eyes.
I knew it! So, tell us what you see in him.
Lily got out between fits of laughter. Cleo grabbed the dryad and